Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in through your nose, breathe out through your mouth. I learned that on Friday. I'll tell you more about that later on in the show. This is Voices from the Dark, as if you speak Italian, which I understood a little bit of that introduction from Manuelo. Pretty sure it was about my balls or someone else's balls. Le palle de altri, or how do you say it?
It was, le palle degli altri. Specifically, he said that you like to play golf with le palle degli altri.
So I like to play golf with other people's balls. I was hoping that Manuelo could actually sit down with us. Today's a weird day, actually, and it's good that I have Jack next to me, because on weird days, he's pretty good to have around, I think. Or at least in my experience, I don't know. He's also what would you call yourself, the host of 87.90?
Yeah, that's perfectly also said. Very good pronunciation.
Thank you. And Jack, Giacomo is my guest for today, and so is Julia. And Manuelo, who is still here. I wish I understood more Italian for that show, because it seems like he's always saying some crazy shit, which is cool. This is Voices from the Dark. We say some crazy shit too, I guess. Basically, the main thing about this show, this episode, why it's so weird, is basically it's the 24th episode that I've done, you know, including. So basically, I count all the episodes that I do here at Labetto Lab on radioibandalarga.it. I count them all as part of the same sort of podcast, but then underneath that, there's different series, like Mistaken Ideas I do with Evgeny. I do another one called The Spectrum, which is about political terminology. I've done also a film one, but that was quite short. It's only been two episodes. So 24, why is that weird?
As a number itself, or as a representation of that number in your life, or in
all of that stuff. I mean, what, maybe you can guess, Giacomo.
24. I don't know. That's... no? What's... 24?
Maybe it's 24 hours in a day, but no, you're wrong. You're wrong about that. basically, 24 is one episode a week on average for 6 months. So that's what I've done, 24 episodes in 6 months. I started this on May 1st. Basically, after some, you know, trial and error. And I really do think that I'll probably be doing this shit for the rest of my life. Podcasting is fucking amazing. So 24, 6 months ago, May 1st, you know, not because it's May Day or whatever. It's just so happened to be, you know, the first of the month, right when I decided to publish the first episode, which so basically it's also it's a special day, because I'm sort of hijacking my guest here and Giacomo and Julia. Basically, I don't have a guest for today, which I think is fine, because it's magical number 24. It's I think it's going to work out. And Giacomo is an artist, so is Julia, and I'm pretty sure Manuelo is an artist of some kind. He did once call his show Scambetto, he described it as being somewhere between philosophy and bullshit. So possibly he's a bullshit artist, but I think that's, he sure is. Yeah. I mean, we have another mic here, Julia. That would be awesome, like, if we can, you know, just chit-chat.
I'm quite sure Manuel is a bullshit artist.
Very cool. All right.
Quite sure.
Yeah. So I guess since you got the mic, maybe you should. I know that you're a designer, right? You're like,
more or less.
And another creative thing you do is this community.
This radio as well. Yeah.
So I mean, it's also something we can talk about. I think it's quite amazing what goes on, like, within the group.
I think that everything started when I was quite young. And I remember that I was something like 11 years old. My mother is quite like, is connected with like culture and she was a painter when she was young, and she became something else. And I was like, at first I was 8 years old, asked to my parents I want to be like, I want to study architecture. It was quite weird for a girl of 8 years old. And then I remember when I was young and I was 11, I went to my father and say, okay, I want to be a street artist. My father say, okay, maybe you should go. Like the time, that time was not so common. Have this kind of person that usually to paint on the walls. I think that now is quite common and it's a business as well. So that period was like so many like characters in the world, but there was no internet, or maybe there was internet, but not like that. And I was like crazy for one Italian guy that is amazing. Name is Blue. And I went to my father, asked my father, how can I become like one street artist? And my father say, I think that maybe you can choose some, you can choose something else that's more real, and suggest me to become an architect. And then during my career, my study, I get on to draw something and I start to make graphic as well. But at least when I was thinking about that last week, because I went to Sicily and I went to this little town in the middle of nothing that was a kind of art town. And I saw a really, really great wall. And I say, what the fuck? It's crazy how everything is changing. Now this, like, this kind of things is a real job. People call you to paint amazing walls around the world. And I say, now I think that is too complicated. I have to work on it. I have to change my life. I have to stop doing my work. Maybe, yeah, architecture, my real work. I have to concentrate everything in these things. But it's quite crazy that everything changed so quickly. And the people now are paid for decorate. I think that there is like a big gap between this kind of artists. Because when I was young, this kind of people usually to paint wall, like for say something important. Like it was like put ideas on the wall. And now everything is quite different because they are called to decorate and for to make a building nicer, maybe renovate one area, or like this word of gentrification, make the neighbor nicer. And yes. But it's still like really, really interesting.
So have you gotten work yourself as a...
Yeah, when I was young, when I was, I think, something like 17, between 17 and, 17 and 18, before move in North Italy, I started to follow this crew in my town, and I was young, and they were like something like 5-6 years older than me. I was girl, I was young, and I started to make some like I finished one. And then one night was quite funny because they say to me, okay, come with us in this like train station because we wanted to paint on one train. And it was night, I was alone with them, with my best friend. And my parents were like far away. They was like out of the island. And they start to say to me, no, there is the police. I start to run. And it was like, at the end, it was a text for me. Say, if something like this happens, you have to run, you have to save yourself because you can just like have problem of the time. And then after I decided to start my university in North Italy and change everything. And then when I went to Turin, I didn't find properly a group of people that was used, or maybe I didn't meet somebody that was in this kind of environment, and I stopped those kind of things. But it's quite interesting. Still now it's interesting for me to find these kind of things. And then I more or less translate everything in lithographics and something I can do in my place with my computer, my pencil, my color. But like my first love was that.
Wow. And so, wow, that's a very interesting story. So, and this was from, you said south of Italy to north of Italy. So where did you start? Wow.
Okay, you imagine that. I'm from Sicily, like your family.
Oh, really?
And Sicily is a fucking island. And during the 19th or the beginning of the like this fucking period of my life when I start to be curious of that, one example is, okay, you want to hear some music? In my town, there was nothing, like not any kind of shop that you can like where you can buy some CDs or music. So the connection was that my cousin usually to buy something in the main one of the main cities there, and I usually to listen that kind of music. So the first one was, I remember the period of, I start with my father music, so like blues and jazz, and then I start to be curious about famous artists like Queen, Pink Floyd, because it was really, really difficult to find something that is your personal taste. You have to take takes of the others and find what you have like there. And then I start to listen what my cousin usually to listen, like Slipknot, System of a Down, this kind of music.
I like System of a Down for sure.
Yeah, my first CD was System of a Down. Yeah, wow. I still have it. And
very cool.
And then when I move like from this little town in the city, I start to have like more inputs.
So and what was the name of the little town?
Name is Camarata. It's in the middle of Sicily.
Not in Messina, though?
No, it's near Agrigento.
Okay.
In the south. And then when I move, like, in a big city, one big city where there were shops and people, friends, and start to...
And which city was that?
Palermo.
Ah, Palermo, okay.
And then when I was, like, I did my university in Turin. Then I moved in Berlin, then I went around for a while, and then I moved again here. But it's really, really crazy if I think about my sister, that are just 3 years younger than me, and they had like the possibility to have this kind of options like YouTube. What a fuck. With YouTube, you have everything. And now, of course, all the others like platform when you can find music.
What do you mean when you say with YouTube, you have everything? I don't know if that's true.
I don't know. Maybe you can just really be curious. Okay, if you have so many options, you can just hear music like in a passive way and say, okay, I just start to see some videos on YouTube and I take what the channel proposed me. When you're young and maybe you have not any kind of options and you have to catch all these ideas from what the others say or what the others show you, maybe you start to think really what you like and what do you want to find. And maybe when you find it, you are just super happy. And finally, you did something that is your taste.
Mm.
And for everything that was connected with music, we can translate as well with art, because there was not like this kind of super amazing magazine you can find here in Berlin, everywhere. There were no options on televisions or nothing that talked about what was street art. There was not. I remember my first day here in Berlin when I was 18 years old, and I moved here. Like, I went here for a while, like a month, and I went around just to see what was wrong. And yeah. Anyway, it depends which kind of parents you are, which kind of friends you find.
Manuelo.
Manuelo,
I don't know if you heard, he's kissing at us or at maybe at Giacomo. So you basically from Sicily to, well, I forget the name of the little town, but then to Palermo, from your little town,
more
Sicily
or less,
to
like, more
Palermo.
Or less I lived for, I moved every 6 years more or less.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sometimes less. So I went to this little town in the big city, then I moved in the north Italy, then I stayed there for a while, then in Berlin, then back in Turin, then in Milan, then in Venice, then in Florence, then in Berlin. So it was a trip until I think...
So you're like 54 or something. By my calculations, you said every 6 years so many places. I don't know. No, I didn't actually calculate that.
But or less that's...
All right, and so that's quite a journey, so... Here in Berlin, and I mean, you've been all over the place in Italy. What's different about Berlin? Is there something different about Berlin? And how do you find places like La Beto Lab? And
for example, last week I went in Sicily for one family party, and I met so many like friends of my family, like friends of my parents. There are something like, I don't know, 60, 65 years old, And all of them that they never been here in Berlin and never saw Berlin in their life, they ask me, how are you? What are you doing there? And for the Sicilian, it's strange because there was a really great immigration during the 16th, and a lot of their parents, of one my parents' friends, went in Stuttgart or maybe in other cities for work, take money and come back. And one of these friends asked me, how much have you to stay there? Like, how many years you must like stay in Berlin before come back at home? I said, I'm leaving Berlin because I like it. And then I start to explain here in a simple way why I'm here and why what here in Berlin for me is good. And it's quite a cliche what I'm saying, like the people can be more or less what they want. It's because like your life is made, when you are at home, is made and you live always in the same place, is made of layers. And when you come here in this big city where the people don't care about you or what you do, or maybe care about your thesis way, or maybe what you really do in your life in your free time, not what you are doing in your professional life, you start to lose all these layers. And at the end, you stay alone with what you really want and you care more about what you really want. And I just answer, I'm Berlin because I can choose my inputs. I can just choose what I want to do. And it's a big city, of course. I can offer so many things. And it's a city that can offer so many options to create your own taste.
I think that's also amazing. The idea that travel is somehow it transforms you. Like
yeah, of course. From place to place. And the question, like, you, for example, you are from New York. That is one of the greatest cities. Like, when I went there, I understand that New York is this city. If you think about one city, you think about New York. Because I think you can find everything there. But there is a kind of pressure behind everything. And there is a kind of stress that here in Berlin, maybe here in Berlin exists, but not like in our life. And maybe you can enjoy of what you have around you in a simple way, better than in New York. I know. I said that just for 1 month.
I mean, I wouldn't disagree with any of that stuff that you just said, but I don't really want to talk about myself right now. I want to talk about you guys. So Berlin, yeah. I mean, I agree with a lot of the stuff you said, even that strangely specific thing about New York. I do obviously feel that this is like a chill city, but I guess then the only question for you would on this point would be, where else would you go? Where else could you go? It definitely seems like it matters. I mean, the way you described your sort of travels and what it means to... Not even, you know, not just as an artist, but as a person who is, you know, just creating a life. So that's the only question. That one that I just said, I already forgot it. I'm like zoning out here. Yeah, but where else would you go? Or would you feel like you can only do what you're doing now here in Berlin? How important is it?
I think that... if I think about all the parts of my life, like my professional life or my artist and or my hobbies as well, I think actually Berlin is a quite good city. Then I have my dreams. Like, I really like to stay one period of my life in Asia, maybe more for my artistic life than my professional life, because I don't care. I'm quite interested actually about like the Asian architecture as well. But it's not for that I want to be there. I think that if you go I'm really like interested to go like in city like Tokyo or Osaka, because they are full of light, full of sign. I was always fascinated by the Japanese character, just like the Japanese letters, like letter signs, and Korean as well. And sometimes you should to draw these kind of things, be curious about these kind of things. So maybe if I have to choose a way like to improve my personal artist like life, I really like to go for a period there. I'm not super crazy for South America, because I think that is something that I'm not like ready to enjoy a long trip there. And just for my art, like for my drawings, I think I can feel like a good inspiration from Asia in general. When I went there, I was like super, super inspired.
You were super what?
I was like, I was there, I was like so many inputs and was there. I tried to directly work, like draw in the street and see around me how many interesting things, how the people usually to cook, to talk, to play cards and to everything. Like Hong Kong is fantastic for this kind of things. And I think maybe Asia can be an option. But if I think something here in Europe, because I'm quite sure that I want to live like in Europe, maybe for the next years, I don't know how I'm going to, but like maybe, I think that Berlin is quite good. You can find your personal way and your personal like place here in every kind of option, and for music as well, like for the radio, like we are doing stuff that maybe in another country or maybe in another city we can just cannot do it.
All right, so how did you get into the whole RBL thing? Was it something that started in Italy? I mean, I guess this is, I do consider all this to be very creative. I think that, and I do want to get back to your specific art, like, you know, get more details about that. But, you know, since you mentioned the radio, and since we're on the radio, I guess it makes sense to talk about it, or maybe we shouldn't talk about it. So how did it start, like, for you?
Start because one day I decided to, when I came back in Berlin, was like December, and decided to have a beer with Tommaso. And I met Tommaso when I was here during my Erasmus year, and then I came back in Italy for a while, and then I came back in Berlin again. And I called him, and I say, okay, let's take a beer. Then after like 3 or 4, like I don't know, in January, of course, like Tommaso called me and say, I need a graphic because I like it's super polite in a super polite way. I need a graphic because like the radio is going to organize a party, and I say, okay, you can come in my place and meet the other guys, and we can decide, because it was, the request was really, really deep. Like we want like a ship, and then we want like a palm tree as well, and then something like snow, and say, okay guys, come here. Because
was this for one of Giacomo's things?
Yeah, it was a mix between like Giacomo Marco and Valerio Matteo e Tommaso. Okay. Taste, so like a bullshit, and
it was the first party we did.
Yeah, it was the first party that they did, because I was not inside already. And
but still, we did it. You did the graphic.
I did it. And I danced for like 6 hours. I was there. And then I remember that Tommaso came to my place and I was super tired and said, guys, we have to be like quickly because I have to go to a bed. I have to sleep. And we did this really, really shitty graphics. Like was, I don't know how I did it. Like I did it with Photoshop. I don't know. But I was like, shit. And
well, since I just want to change the subject slightly, there was a really amazing one for that. I think it was the last Alice Paletti.
Yeah,
That was you too, right?
Yeah.
That was good. That was good.
No, was that one was so, like dark, but it's a long story because
let's talk about the positive. No, you got to talk about the negative too. No, yeah, you know, made a shitty graphic. It's all right. It happens.
No, was a shitty graphic because it was like we did it so quickly, and then. Yeah. Tommaso and Matteo decide everything and say, okay, we can use this font and then you can use this image. Okay, guys, we do it and then take it and send it to the others and organize this fucking. And then I went there, I have fun. And after like 2 weeks or something like this, I decide to make the new image, like new logo, new graphics for After Hour. Because they had some shitty images from I don't know what. And then everything started. I started to do everything.
And After Hours is another radio show. What? Right? After Hours is another radio show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever heard that one. It's After Hours, I'm already sleeping.
But like, what's quite yours. Funny?
That's yours? No. No.
I'm laughing because, like, all the time we... So when we started the radio from here, there was my show that I do with Marco, and then was Valerio Tommaso and Matteo show, which is After Hour. So we have always, like... you know, started together from the my bedroom or various places and so on. It was always like four of us on Sunday from 8 to midnight. Yeah, very long Sunday evening used to be. So we are always this thing like, yeah, you started first. No, but where you started first, you guys started first, but then you came and then us. Or like all the time, they are like waiting for... like blame something on us and say like, oh, you guys, you know, finally we don't have time anymore for shows, so we kick out your program. And now you are exactly saying that you never heard that for an hour,
is it?
So that's why I'm laughing.
Okay, it's very confusing. It's like a soap opera.
It's more Lazar Beer Berlin. It's a soap opera.
All right, I haven't seen too much of the soap opera myself. I mean, it's, you know, I think this is the fifth episode now that Voices from the Dark is on RBL Berlin. I really like it. So that's how you got into this. So I guess then let's go back to the topic, the usual topic for Sundays. You know, your actual work, your artwork. So you said you are also an architect.
I studied architecture and I love it. I really like to build stuff, and it's my first passion. And I earn money like through architecture. So every day I wake up in the morning and I go in the office and I draw, because of course you have to draw. I draw buildings. And so this is my job. And then sometimes I usually just draw for myself. Sometimes I sell my draw. Sometimes I just draw for my mom, these kind of things. But like my real job is to be architect. That is really interesting as well.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's definitely interesting.
Because like my view, my personal view is like, if you are inside a process like a creative process, and you start to think about what you want to do, like to create something, and there is this kind of time, like this period of time when you're in this creation, like creativity progress, and the adrenaline that can you feel during this time. It's really, really crazy. And until I don't finish, like, I have to finish it. So if I start a draw that is about, like, I don't know, a wall, just a window or a tower, or if I start to draw, like today, jellyfish on my iPad, it's always the same feeling. Of course, if I have expression me, like a work during my job, the adrenaline is, like, even stronger. But it's like always I was deeply inside this kind of feeling that you have to do something, you create something. At the end, you can see your product and you are just fucking satisfied about that. It's more or less, it's not what you do, but in the way that is more interesting, the final result. And this is really good.
That is, excuse me. That's a great sentiment. I think that's what I feel actually right now with this episode. It was weird because, you know, I couldn't get a guest, or I did get one and then it didn't work out. But I do feel like, especially with podcasting, because it's such, you're recording your voice, right? You're recording a part of yourself in a way. And so when there's so many obstacles to getting this end result, you know, which is an episode or a recording or whatever. And I think everybody feels that. And I've just never thought of it in this way that you're describing. I think it's an amazing idea, this adrenaline, you say.
Yeah, it's this adrenaline.
Is it really adrenaline?
Yeah, it's adrenaline.
Really?
Yeah, when you have like a deadline, you have to create. What? Because like in my personal job, like the architectural field, you have to prepare really draw. So sometimes when you have to present something, you need to finish everything. You have to have all the fucking lines that you need for create a draw. And that is time. And sometimes you have to stay at work for like until night. Maybe you have to work for 24 hours without like any kind of break. It's what? Quite hard. But sometimes, depends which kind of office is it, how the office is organized. And I can like compare, like if you compare like my job with my hobby is different, because if you start a project in the architectural field, you can just work on the same project for 6-7 years. So one day you start to sketch on a paper the shape of your building, and then after 6, 4, 3, 10, sometimes 15 years, you can feel like you can just see what did you do at funny, because there were so many phases for and then in this like you can't really feel the adrenaline and every day, because sometimes it's stronger, sometimes it's like okay, I have to draw the same draw for 3 months, so I don't feel nothing to anything. And then after, maybe sometimes when you have to prepare like a little project in 3-4 months, you can feel this adrenaline more. I was super fucked up about this kind of things when I was in university, and you have to prepare one exam in 3 nights, and I didn't sleep for 72 hours.
Wow.
I was dead.
That's crazy. But I think that explains a lot for a lot of people. I mean, if this adrenaline thing is true, then I think a lot of people procrastinate for the adrenaline, it's a quite
of addiction at the end. But I think that's happens as well in the music. Like, for example, you have to play in a concert, like you have a band, or maybe you have to,
or if you're an actor,
but you have to play, you have to choose, for example, you have to play in a party, you have to choose 1 hour, 3 hours, 6 hours of music, and you have to let people dance really. And you start to prepare everything and start to listen to the music, select the music, cut the music, put the music together. And finally, you have like 6 hours of time, or maybe just one, to express your own work. And you, of course, you are super stressed of that. And finally, you see the people dance. Maybe the people enjoy just the music. And after that, the adrenaline is fucking... everything is in your brain. All your blood is in your brain. And you just feel all this... And then there is this down that is wonderful. For the creation of everything, I think that's up. Oh no. Maybe
you're right. Let's ask Giacomo. Giacomo?
Can you say it again, please?
So basically, do you excuse me, oh man, my throat. Do you tend to procrastinate? And also, if you do, or if you don't, do you feel adrenaline like right before you're gonna perform, since you're a DJ? Do you feel this as, or in any other performance that you might do? Do you ever feel this like adrenaline? Julia calls it adrenaline. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's kind of a mix of not only adrenaline, but it's a mix of fear as well. So maybe that pushes adrenaline further. I really don't like to talk in public. I really don't like to give presentation or whatsoever. I did one a few weeks ago, at work in front of the old company, and it was horrible. But if I'm playing, I am more excited rather than feeling this kind of fear adrenaline, but it's more adrenaline excitement. So if I play, so first of all, it's a different thing, of course. But second of all, if we, I don't know, perform or share something in front of people, so if we define that as a performance, which I guess it is, you would have different feelings, or I would have different feelings. And yeah, playing, it's much more exciting rather than fearing or saying something, saying some bullshit, or not feeling. And I had this feeling also when I started the radio itself. I had this adrenaline when on the first episodes, the voice was always shaking a bit, and you feel like, what am I gonna say? Can I say fuck? Can I say, what if I, whatever? Yeah, no, but it's like, of course, I can say, like, I remember we come from the background of the After Hour, so we know that, and so it's really, it's a different feeling, a different way of sharing, performing, and depending on the different things that you do, I think I personally have different feelings about it. But always, adrenaline is the main pattern, I would say. Yeah.
Alrighty, so there you have it. I guess it's a we can ask everybody in here, but I think it's pretty clear.
I think it's pretty clear that everybody,
whatever you want to call it, it's like excited or anxious, or I mean, there is definitely that feeling. And so, let's get back to where that was sort of like a long tangent, I think. So basically, you're an architect, and that's cool, but you also do other stuff. And
yeah, I need to do other stuff.
You need to, okay.
Yeah, I need to do other stuff. Like, I can't, like, even last week, I was thinking about this stuff, because sometimes you feel like I met these friends, and we was talking about the great architect we met in the last, like, 10 years. So, guys that can be really good in his work. And maybe if you wanted to be great in your job, you have to concentrate everything on it, maybe about your career. It's not like about career, because you know, like, I have to climb a stairs of steps and to become like the CEO of one company. It's like be great and know everything about your job. Be architect and be complete. It's quite complicated, because you need to, you can be like really, really good in the practical way. So understand which way build a wall, or maybe choose a kind of wood for one structure. So it's a really, really technical stuff. Or maybe even the other side, you need to know the history and so everything about architecture. So which kind of architect built this building that is on the other side of the world. And I need to have like a kind of collection in my brain about what's happened in the last, 15 years. So you can't really be great in this. Okay, you have to choose. And the answer was, okay, I want to be like a great musician. I want to be a great artist. I want to be a great illustrator. I want to spend all my fucking time in something like this. I'm not agree. Because you can close yourself in a room and work 24 hours a day and be really professional in something. But if you don't let you find something that you can really find, so like with the, you go out one day and you meet somebody that can explain you something that you didn't know, that in that way you can really grow. So my option is, okay, do different kind of things in my life. Don't concentrate all my life just in one field, on just in one thing, because I need to escape sometimes from one side to the other and say, okay, today I have to take some time for me. I have to draw. I have to go on with my own project. When I started with the radio, was like different, because I was always usually to my plan is, okay, I'm an architect and then I'm at home. I just draw for myself for relax. Then I start with them and start to make all this graphic for the radio, and then I start to work with the graphics as well. So people start to ask me, okay, I need this project. Can you do this graphic for me? Great.
You get freelance work now from that?
For a period, I was a freelancer. Oh, okay. And now I'm just like employed in an office. But I can just, of course, I just answer about like to some requests and I say, okay, I can do this draw, or I did draw for tattoos, I did draw for advertising, maybe for kind of like little articles in some magazine. And
that's cool.
Yeah, but I think that maybe if you choose to do different kind of things in your life, you have to escape from one side to the other side of your personal life. I can't really take all my life and do just one thing. Or I can just do, like, I like music as well. I like to be in this period, in this moment, in this city, just for this reason as well. But I don't think I want to play music. I just want to listen it. But even if you play music like DJ, for example, you have to maybe concentrate yourself in this practice because you need it. Because you have to be technical and your taste should be really, really, you have to research. You have to find new kind of music, mix it. And for like draw as well, because you need to have a lot of products if you want to be great. I don't know if I want to be great. Maybe I just like my style. I don't want to improve it. And if I improve my personal side because I'm just feeling that I want to do it, And because I need to create an idea that in my brain, and I want to create it. It's not because I have to. So I'd never draw, for example, 7,000 feet or 300 hands or maybe 400 times the same high. I never did it. But I draw a lot of buildings.
Oh, okay. You draw all the buildings. That's a very interesting take on like what's required. What's required, I guess, to be an artist, but then you're also introducing this idea of greatness. What do you think about accidental greatness? Like, was Kurt Cobain great? Like, truly great? Or was it some blend of luck up, you know, and yeah, I don't know. I see what you're saying about the amount of work that certain levels, to achieve certain levels, there's a certain amount of work.
We are talking about talent.
Yes, basically.
Yeah, it's the. I think that so many people wrote and talked about this topic. I don't know. Like, I don't know if there is like a really part of your flow that is, depends from Thailand or you were great at flute. Okay, there is this strange city. This strange story about where it was a problematic kid. Did nothing for all the high school, and then. One day it became like one of the greatest indie rock star for the 90s. Or maybe
and his name was Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry about that.
And then became like great. I don't know if like, I don't know, like Kurt Cobain is like, for the example of Kurt Cobain, is died. So I think it didn't, was a lie when, like if you think about people like John Lennon, this kind of people that is still like in the mind of the people and in the idea of greatness that the people are, because they had a period of time was really, really great and a lot of people around them that pushed them to be great. And if you think about, okay, you wake up in the morning and you go with some friends to have to see a concert, and then you take the guitar on your hand and you start to play like Jimi Hendrix. I think it's really, really bullshit. It's something, I think it's something between, okay, I'm maybe smart at first. I'm second one. I had some options in my life to play music or draw something or maybe sing or wrote something. Sometimes you are a little bit sick as well. Like Wallace was a great, great
like,
guy.
Like mentally sick?
No. Yeah, maybe you're, yeah. A little bit, yeah, a little bit mental. Like if you think about Wallace, he was like a little bit depressed, and he wrote a lot of great.
Who's Wallace?
The author of one, like Wallace is the guy that wrote so many books and was one of the.
I know Marcellus Wallace, the guy from the character from Pulp Fiction. He's the guy. With the ball, the red ball in his mouth.
Even if you think about, like, I think that everything can be, like, you introduce like film, like movies, and if you think about direct, like the great people that you took to create movies. Think about Tarantino, this kind of. Sometimes you think, okay, I'm great. My first movie was great. My second one was really, really great. And then you start to make sometimes bullshit as well. And sometimes you have to, and then you are not anymore a legend, or you are not like the greatest one that the people was talking about like 10 years ago.
So greatness can disappear.
Yeah, greatness can disappear. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's a flash, more or less.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I mean, I never really talk about the idea of greatness. I think that what you're saying is true, that you just have to do it. And I think that greatness could happen accidentally on the way as well. But, yeah. Giacomo, do you have any comments about this, about greatness?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. With you guys, I never thought that you're like, I don't know, born and you're like, you know, you just start your life into this world and you know something and you know it's so good that you don't whatsoever required hard work, or you know, like a kind of mentality that makes you learn and experience things, therefore you become great in doing something. So I don't purely believe in fate, but I do believe in a combination of hard work and also, as you were just saying, being lucky to have, I don't know, something crossing your path, therefore jump on an occasion, or just, you know, have it's kind of the lucky factor with you. But I don't think, you gotta work it out, otherwise,
Cool.
I think you have to be like super egocentric if you wanted to become like great.
Oh, wait, you mean selfish?
Yeah.
Okay. Because egocentric in English means something different. I have the same problem I have with my wife all the time. She was, I have the problem. I use the word.
Depends which kind of word.
No, when I speak Spanish, I'm making the mistake. Actually, she makes it. She doesn't make the mistake. I almost pinned that one on my wife. That's not cool, man. Sorry, Nadia, if you're listening, which I don't think she is. In any case, I think. So basically, for you, there's obviously got to be a balance between like what you do for money and what you do for your personal self, right?
Yeah.
But I guess, I mean, it just comes into my mind. I think, are you doing the architecture so that you can do the other stuff? Like, if you didn't have to do the architecture and you just had like millions of dollars or euros or whatever, you would continue doing the architecture? I know it's a cheap question. Everybody asks that question. But
I know. I think that's... Fortunately, I really like my job. Like, I really like wake up... I don't really like wake up in the morning at first, but if I can stay at work at 11 or 12, it could be great. But in any case, in this moment, I really like my job and I really like what I'm doing. So I think that maybe if I think about my job, I can really do something else. Of course, and I think I'm not
interested. You cannot.
I cannot do something else, because if I think tomorrow I can wake up in the morning and be super rich and I can stay at home, and it could be really boring at first. And then second, I can really use my hobbies like illustration just for leave. I did it, and it's really, really annoying when you have to do something for somebody else and they touch you in this deeply way and say, okay, I think that maybe this line should be in another way because my taste is different from yours. And at the end, I understood that maybe I can want to work for make money through architecture. And then I don't really want that somebody come to me and say, I don't like your draw and I prefer that this color is different. Okay, perfect. But I don't like that you have to be slave or your brain. So like to understand which is your visual and which is your vision or maybe your idea and draw something just because you have to do one advertising or maybe you have to do a t-shirt or something like this. So at the end, I understand that this my art side is more connected with me and with myself, and I don't really want to use it for make money. And if tomorrow I will be like super rich, of course I will have like a room full of colors and screens and all this stuff for make like just of course. Illustrator, but I think that architecture is something that will miss me because it's really, really interesting like job. Okay. And I really like to do it.
That's cool. That's great. So I guess you said to yourself, you know, you're sort of lucky for that in itself, that, you know, you do actually love your the job that supports you financially, whatever. So I guess that makes me think, what is the weirdest thing you've had to do as a job that was not architecture? Like, you must have studied at some point or must have had to, I don't know, Have you had any other jobs besides, you know, architecture? And you must have. I mean, everybody has. What's the weirdest one?
The weirdest one.
Or your favorite one. It doesn't have to be the weirdest one. That's weird to ask people to tell them. What's the weirdest thing that ever happened to you?
The weirdest one, like architecture or like in my job. In any kind of job or just like...
Any job that you had to do that was just for the money. So you said that you love what you do. You love architecture. So you're not doing it just for the money, right?
Yeah, I'm doing it because like I love
what this. So
I don't really
That's pretty cool. But like, for example, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on this on the Voices from the Dark podcast, but I was a pet chauffeur. I drove basically rich people's animals around in a car. Like they would call us.
Jack was like,
he's like, that's what? But yet they would call us and say, oh, I need you to pick me up, me and my dog, or sometimes just the dog at the hospital or whatever, and take me back home, you know, cause it was the animal hospital, pick up dogs from airports, you know? So basically it's a service that you pay for. People just call, we need to transport their animal basically. That's probably the weirdest thing I've ever done.
No, I did just once. Something was quite weird. It's not what I did, but was the request was weird a little bit weird. Was this project here in Berlin, in Potsdam, was like a huge villa of something like 4,000 square meters, something like great. And the garden was even bigger. Was next to the lake, and it was the first things about this project was really weird. That was like on the basement was like was a Nazi, like it was like a Nazi prison, something like this. Like was a base for the Nazi, and it was.
This is here in Germany.
In Germany, and this villa was a project about this guy, a quite weird guy from Romania that was in London, was married with a really rich woman from India, and his son was a gay guy that was super was in this super strong relationship with this old man, older than the father, from Germany. And they decide to create in this amazing huge villa different kind of apartments, and then they decide to ask me one room next to one bath that was completely black, and it was with nothing inside. Like it was like, I don't know.
It was like a full bathroom.
It was like a full bathroom, and then the door next was like the door for this little room, but it was something like 5 square meter. So tiny, with a window that was like completely painted with black paint, and this room was completely black. And I never really understood why I did it. My boss came to me and said, okay, you have to draw, you have to just draw this plan, this draw in this section. And let the people say, like, the people know that this room should be completely black. Just it. But I really didn't understand what I did. And this guy was really, really weird. But I didn't really do something weird, like you just go around with dogs of the other people. Okay. Or maybe I can really remind.
So what did you draw? What exactly did you draw on the walls?
I draw the walls and I draw like all the walls black. And the strange things that...
Oh, you actually painted the walls
black? Yeah, we painted the walls. Oh, okay. And all the room was black. Mm. And there was just this gold elements in one of the wall, like a huge... I don't know like to say in English. I know just German words, Geländer. Is you have to... Is when you put... stuff like coats and this kind of things on the kind of wardrobe, and it was gold. And then all the room was black. Uh-huh. All the others like walls in the room were black. and I didn't really understand why I did it, but I did it. This job.
That's definitely weirder than driving dogs around, I think.
I think, yes.
So, yeah. I guess, yeah, so we should probably be wrapping this up, right? Giacomo? 2 minutes. Oh, man. That's a lot of minutes. No, it's just two, actually.
Again, what did you do weird in your life?
Wait. I just got to get back to, bring it back to the meditation. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. I had mentioned that earlier. This is a very good meditative practice. I learned it from Dave Chappelle. He is truly a master. On Friday, actually, I have a witness. We were there. Fucking Dave Chappelle. It was actually a highlight of my fucking weekend. It's also what makes this 24th episode of Voices from the Dark, the 6 months of weekly episodes, also kind of like just happiness everywhere. So what do we got coming up? 2 feet in a show, right? Alrighty. So episode 24 of Voices from the Dark is officially coming to a close. I want to thank Giacomo and Julia for being my sort of impromptu guests because of my poor administrative and management skills.
Which is also good luck also. Like you never know what happens, but you always find RBL pals around. It was a pleasure. Thanks,
Steve. A pleasure as well.
Yeah, and I said before, Jack is a good guy to have around when things get weird. So, this has been Voices from the Dark, and yeah, coming up next is 2 Feet in a Show. Peace out.